Last week, I was in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia to celebrate the 50th anniversary Mass for Sister of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, a friend from her teaching days in California. And there in the parish bulletin, there was an advertisement for a one-night, two-hour conference entitled Passing on the Catholic Faith to American Teens. I would like to have attended, but unfortunately it was sometime this week. It was at LaSalle University, I believe. It was going to be a panel discussion. And in that, there was a reference to a book that I had used when I taught, which listed 10 reasons why you need to raise your children Catholic. And some of those reasons are, well, so they'll reject some, they'll have rules that they can reject when they grow older in college, or they have rules to reconsider when they have children of their own. Another reason to raise your kids Catholic is that they'll have values to cherish for the rest of their lives. Another reason, so they'll have something to hang on to when times get difficult. So they'll come to know that every person wears the face of Christ in a different way, even those we do not like, and that they'll know about Jesus' death and resurrection and understand that life is more than the present suffering. Well, the first reason was meant to get attention. That is something they'll reject. It eventually gets to more serious values, like realizing the presence of Christ, the need to have a moral life, to have hope in time of adversity. And I believe St. Mark, the evangelist we have heard most of this liturgical year, would agree about the need to know about Jesus as one who suffered and died for us. And Mark presents Jesus telling his disciples about his coming, suffering, and death, and he does so on three different occasions. So the gospel we have heard this morning comes right after Jesus has spoken about his suffering and death for the third time. And we know that his apostles found this difficult to understand. But in the passage we just heard today, he speaks with greater detail. He says he will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. Now, no sooner does Jesus finish that James and John, as we heard, come up and ask for a favor. Now, listening to this, we might ask the question, were they paying attention at all? Did they realize what Jesus was saying? Power, prestige, honor, and glory? Was that all they could think about? But notice again how Jesus is patient with them, but he calls them to follow him on his term. He asks James and John if they could drink the cup he drinks or be baptized with the baptism with which he is baptized. And when they say they can, he, of course, knowing that they don't fully understand, he affirms and tells them that indeed they will suffer. Now, it's not just suffering at the end that is at stake. But think about this, the constant dying to self for the sake of others. Here Jesus offers those words. You know how the rulers hold their authority over the Gentiles, how they seek to be recognized. But then he says, whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. Now this is the Jesus that I hope you and I have taught our young people, that we've shown your sons and daughters, no matter their age, that it is Jesus who asks us to work with him, the servant who gave his life as a ransom for many. And our young people, if we're to pass on the faith to them in a lasting way, will only know him if we bring Jesus to them by word and action. October, we know, is Respect Life Month. On Friday here in our cathedral, I celebrated Mass for some of the students of our Catholic schools and representatives of the homeschool families. And I reminded them of an essential message that God has for each one of us. And that is, we are all chosen, we are all cherished by God, and he sends us on a mission. In other words, each of us has a vocation in life. And part of the mission of parents and adults who work with young people is that it will be a challenge to hand on the faith to the next generation. And the current situation in our church and scandal, once again, will make this more challenging. Faith handed on. Why? So that young people will have that meaning, that sense of hope, that purpose, that mission in their life, and that meaning will come from knowing God as the source of all life, the sacredness of life from conception to natural death. And to know that in Jesus, in his giving his life for us, guides us on the way to salvation. In a world of frequent violence and tragedy, where studies show that young people, especially high school and college, seem to have a greater sense of anxiety and isolation than ever before. And they need to know that they can be young people of light, able to face whatever darkness comes with courage. Again, that reason, that present suffering is not the end of all things. Our young people need to know, and all of us, that we belong to Christ, but there are no shortcuts in this mission. It is about giving of oneself in humble service so that our young people will have a sense of who they are and how much they matter. I was talking to a friend who was back teaching high school theology, and we were talking about marriage. And at some point in a young couple's life, and you would know this better than I, but it's somewhat similar to a priest, at some point in those early years, a decision has to be made for one to put the other's desires ahead of their own. In other words, that happiness and fulfillment does not come waiting for the other to serve us. It's not easy, but it's only in giving of oneself that happiness can truly be found. In other words, a sense of sacrifice. I've talked to a young priest who I knew in California, pious and very dedicated to God, but honestly somewhat selfish. I talked about the importance of generosity of heart, that a true shepherd is available to God's people, that he calls us to serve his flock, not to be served by the flock. And remember, no one needs help, is in a crisis, or comes to see you when it's always convenient. You know this in a family life. We have a flock because Jesus has asked us, if we wish to be great, we must be a servant. Now, there are some bishops and priests who never learn this. They're never happy. They base their whole life kind of on James and John, an ecclesiastical career, kind of like that line, enough about me, now you talk about me. No, to follow Christ, not just to admire him, means that we serve and we're not to be served. And we have to keep this in mind because, as St. Peter has said, the goal of our faith is salvation. So just as all of us in that message of Respect Life are chosen, are cherished, and sent, we have a mission together for the salvation of souls. And it's a mission not just for the clergy or religious, but for all. As we continue then in this Mass, challenged always by word and strengthened by sacrament, let us pray that his Eucharist and our faith-filled participation in this Mass will give each of us the grace and the strength to bring our individual missions to completion.